1957. That was the J. Gordon Concert Orchestra. A tune called Lotus Land from their album Music from Another World. Well, hello, this is DJ Frederick, and this is the Not Entirely Classical Music Hour, where we use classical music as a point of departure for playlists that drift into jazz, new age, easy listening, and more. And if you're tuned to the Not Entirely Classical Music Hour, you're probably listening on Classical WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. Again, I'm DJ Frederick. I have been here at WSCS since 1999, a whole millennium ago. We're going to spend the first 20 minutes or so of the program today listening to a piece by Bernard Benoit, absolutely my favorite Celtic guitarist. We're going to be listening to the title track of his album Regina, which was released on Polydor Records in 1978. Here's Bernard Benoit.
Thank you. This is Bird Note. The avian world is full of mimicry artists. Stellar's jays, blue-gray gnatcatchers, and European starlings can all imitate the calls of other species of birds. But northern mockingbirds have taken mimicry to a whole new level. Sure, they can mimic other birds, but their repertoire includes more than just bird standards. Mockingbirds can mimic frogs and toads. The mockingbird imitates the calls of not one or two, but 12 species of amphibians found in North America. The mimicry is so good, it's hard to tell frog from bird. Here's the call of a Cope's gray tree frog. Now compare it to the mockingbird's attempt at copying it. Tree frog? Mockingbird. So, how does this mimicry benefit the bird? That remains something of a mystery, but scientists think that the females might find it attractive. With such extensive knowledge of the Great American Songbird book, mockingbirds really are the crooners, or croakers, of the bird world. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Today's show brought to you by the Bobolink Foundation.
And welcome back to the Not Entirely Classical Music Hour. I'm DJ Frederick, and this is WSCS 90.9 FM in New London. It's classical, WSCS.org. We're going to go somewhere a little bit different right now, digging into a cassette that was released by the Sunray Meditation Society in 1984. This is Diane Wahyu, and I probably just massacred that name. The tape is entitled Our Hearts and the Heart of the Earth Are One. We're going to listen to a couple of pieces from this privately released cassette. Diane Wahyu, Our Hearts and the Heart of the Earth Are One. Diane Yoahu, here on the Not Entirely Classical Music Hour on WSCS. We're going to continue along in a meditative theme. We're going to listen to some music from another cassette. It was called Wood and Gold, Silver and Clay, Music for Deep Relaxation by Jerry Crocker. And this is from 1992. It's a privately released cassette. We're going to hear the track Rain Sonata in G minor. This is Jerry Crocker.
In oceans around the world, coral reefs are endangered. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet.
Coral reefs can be seen as indicators for the health of our environment.
Maya Trotz is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of South Florida.
In the late 90s and 2000s, we started to see a decline in coral reef health. The corals are bleached. There's hardly any live coral cover in many places, which was linked to the sea surface temperatures tending to be much higher than normal, but also impacts from development close to where the coral reefs are, sediment runoff, wastewater pollution, overfishing, lots of other things that impact the reef system that have slowly decimated them.
Coral reefs are made up of organisms called polyps, which provide a home and protection for algae.
These increasingly warm years for the sea temperatures impact the corals because in changing the environment, the coral polyp, as a response to the stresses, it ejects the algae that's living in there, that gives it its color, that gives it its life. And if that bleaching event continues for too long, that algae doesn't come back and the coral ends up going completely white and dying.
In future programs, we'll hear what scientists are doing to help restore coral reefs. Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by the Center for Earth and Environmental Nanotechnology and the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
And welcome back to the Not Entirely Classical Music Hour, where we use classical music as a point of departure for playlists that drift into jazz, new age, easy listening, and more. I'm DJ Frederick. Right now we're going to hear a piece by Peter Patzer. It's the Symphony No. 40. Thank you. Don Harper with Chamber Pop from 1971. And that closes out this edition of the Not Entirely Classical Music Hour with DJ Frederick. Thank you for listening and wishing you wonderful tunes.
Breathe.